John the Baptist walks up to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and he says, who warned you? Who warned you to flee from God's coming wrath? Don't feel safe because you're the children of Abraham. God can raise up children of Abraham from these stones. The axe is poised at the root of the tree. And the axe is going to cut down every tree that does not bear fruit. Today's going to be pretty much a part two to last week's message called Who Warned You? And I begin with the thought that John told the Jewish people that God can raise up children of Abraham from rocks. He can raise them up from these stones. Don't feel safe because of your genealogical bloodline, your background. Father Abraham, y'all remember a song when you grew up in church? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. And I don't know the next part. So you sang that growing up. I sang that growing up. And here's the truth. I didn't understand how Abraham could possibly be my father. I could sing that song all day long, but I didn't know the connection. Maybe I should have, but I didn't know. So let me ask all of you a question today. Is Abraham your father? Does it matter if Abraham is your father or not? On the last day, will it matter if Abraham's your father or not? Today, that's going to be the topic, Father Abraham. And I went back through ancient archives, and there's a picture of Abraham. That's not really a picture of Abraham. Y'all need to get real here. So anyway, that's the picture in my mind of what I think Abraham would look like if I got to pick. It's actually the front cover of the Henry Blackaby Experience in God study book, which is one of my favorite Bible studies of all time. But really, is Abraham your father? Could you explain how Abraham is your father to an unbeliever? Do you think that would be important for you to know and for you to be able to communicate? Do you realize how important this question is, how eternally important this question is? Is Abraham my spiritual father? When you leave here today, I surely hope that you know the answer to that question and that you would know it to the point where you could explain it to somebody else. You know how God's story with man begins. Adam and Eve in the garden, and my favorite way to describe that scene is light reaches down and takes hold of dust and makes it alive. That's the origin of man. Light encounters dust. Genesis 2, verse 7. And then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person, a living being, a living soul. Adam, listen carefully, was a son of God. He's not the only begotten son of God, but he would obviously be the son of God. God would be his father because there aren't any other fathers around. It's just God. Adam was going to raise up children that would be sons and daughters of God. Are you with me? Let's start with the foundation. Adam, the plan was he would have children. Adam and Eve would have children, and they would be called the sons and daughters of God. Adam, the original first man, was a son of God, the son of God, not the only begotten, not to be confused with the only begotten son, but he is definitely, Adam is a son of God. But man lost fellowship with God in that scene. Sin separated man from God. Adam, the son of God, and Eve were forced to leave God's presence in the garden. And that separation, I want you to think about the word separation. It wasn't supposed to be separation between God and his children. They weren't supposed to be separate from each other. They were supposed to be one with each other, a family, the children of God experiencing their father. But sin caused a separation, and that separation grew wider and wider and wider up to the time of the great flood. The separation between God and man became so wide that God decided to destroy mankind from the face of the earth. But the mercy of God left open one door and one man. One door, you're talking about a spiritual picture, a spiritual shadow. There was one door open for mankind. One door and one man stood in the gap between God's wrath and judgment and God's mercy and grace. The one door was the ark, this giant boat, but there was only one door, one way in, one way out. And one man brought the favor of God that opened the door of salvation to the generation, to the eight people in that generation. His name was Noah. And I want you to understand something, that Noah comes from the seed of Adam. And Adam's seed, the Son of God, Adam's seed, was needing a way to be carried across the flood. Noah is the man that will carry the seed of the Son of God, Adam, across the flood into the new world. Genesis 6, verse 8. But Noah found favor with the Lord. That's how it works. That favor was going to carry the seed of the Son of God, Adam, across the water into the new world. The favor was upon Noah, and it flowed down to the sons of Noah and their wives. They were saved from the wrath of God that fell upon the earth. The sons and daughters of God that came from Adam and Eve, all the other sons and daughters of God that came from Adam and Eve, they all died except the family of Noah, which was eight people in all. Do you know that Noah would have known all the pre-flood patriarchs except Adam and Enoch? Do you realize that? Sometimes when you read that Genesis account, maybe you don't catch the years. Noah would have known all the pre-flood patriarchs except Adam and Enoch, and was 14 years old when Seth, the son of Adam, died. You with me? There were 10 generations, 10 patriarchs, and around 400 years between, after the flood, between Noah and Abraham, our main character today. 10 generations, 10 patriarchs, it's recorded in Scripture, 10 generations. Actually, his name is Abram in the beginning. And God changed it to Abraham because Abraham means father of multitudes. And this is the reason we call Abraham father. Father Abraham. Let me read it to you. So when I began today by asking you a question, is Abraham your father? This is the foundation of your answer should be yes. Abraham is my father. Genesis 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. Now, I want you to think about you're in this story. I, God, will make a covenant with you, Abram, that there will be countless children, descendants, come from you. At this, Abram fell face down to the ground, and then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you, Abraham, the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you'll be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. And I will make you extremely fruitful, and your descendants will become many nations. You see this, many nations, many nations, many nations. And kings will be among your descendants. And I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. This is an everlasting covenant. Y'all getting this? This does not have an expiration date. This is an everlasting covenant of God between God and Abraham. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, I will give it to you and your descendants, your children. It will be their possession, how long? Say it out loud. Forever. And I will be their God. Father Abraham. In Hebrew, Abram means exalted father. In Hebrew, Abraham means father of many or father of multitudes. But in both cases, Abram and Abraham, his name means father. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. Abraham became the father of the Jewish people, right? We know that. In fact, if in a simple term, you can say that Abraham was the first Jew. But there is so much more to this story. He is the father of a multitude of nations, not just the Jews. Abraham is the father of the Arab nations. I wonder how many of you in church today, you don't know that. Abraham is the father of the, not just the Jewish people, but he's the father of the Arab nations through his first son named Ishmael. Now, don't confuse that statement about the Arab nations as being the father of the Muslim nations. Many people today don't understand world history, and they associate the Arab nations with the Muslims nations as if they had the same origins and the same beginnings. They did not. In fact, Islam didn't begin. There was no Islam until about 600 years after the time of Jesus. After the church age, more than 2,000 years after Abraham. In fact, there is no Islam for 2,000 years after Abraham. So if you have the idea that Ishmael started Islam, you'd be wrong. It's the Arab people that come from Abraham. Ishmael is the father of the Arab nations. There is a fork in the tree. That's where we're going to go today. There is a fork in the tree of Father Abraham. The tree forks between Ishmael on one side and Isaac on the other side. Ishmael was born as man's attempt to reach God. This is important. It's confirmed in the New Testament as well as the Old. Ishmael is what happens in a spiritual war where man tries to find a way to be God or reach God. Isaac was born differently. Isaac was born as a result of a promise, a covenant, by the power of God himself, not the power of man. The power of man produced an Ishmael. The power of God produces an Isaac. And it does matter. Ishmael is not the child of the promise. Ishmael is not the child of the covenant. Ishmael, on that side, the fork of that tree, listen carefully, does not produce children of God. It does not. And I'm going to show it to you. So what is the promise and what is the covenant? The promise and the covenant of being able to call Abraham your father legitimately is the way to become the new children of God. How can we become the new children of God? Ishmael became the father of the 12 Arab kings, 12 Arab nations, and they have been at war with the sons of Isaac and Jacob, Israel, since the very beginning. And yes, much of Islam, listen carefully, much of Islam comes from these Arab nations that come from Ishmael. And yes, Islam calls Abraham father. Do you know that? Islam, Muslims, call Abraham father, but not through Isaac. They believe that he is father through Ishmael, and thus the fork in the tree. Isaac on one side, Ishmael on the other. One creates a group of people called the children of God. The other does not. But both sides claim Abraham as father. Genesis 16:15. So Hagar, let me introduce Hagar. Hagar is the Egyptian maidservant of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Hagar gave Abram a son, and Abram named him Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. Now Hagar, Sarah's Egyptian handmaiden, is the result of man's attempt to be God or to find a way to God. So you know the story, most of you know the story. Sarah wasn't willing to wait on God. She became impatient with God. God had already given Sarah and Abraham a promise that you will bear a son, a child of the covenant, a child of the promise. But she became impatient. She couldn't get pregnant. No matter what happened, she couldn't get pregnant. She became unwilling to wait on God's promise to her husband. So she did something that we would think unthinkable. She encouraged Abraham to take her handmaid and have sex with her and have a child through her. Now understand that culturally in that day, it was not that abnormal, even though we would find it pretty abnormal today. This was a terrible idea that produced generational consequences. Sarah, what do you think happened after Hagar becomes pregnant? Sarah is already struggling with her relationship with her husband and her God. She's impatient. Now Hagar finds herself pregnant. Women, what do you think now? How do you think she feels about her handmaiden? She hates her. Regardless of how good an idea she thought it was on day one, she doesn't think it's a good idea now. So now she runs off Hagar. She hates her to the point where Hagar flees from the anger of Sarah. And as Hagar, pregnant with Ishmael, runs for her life from her angry master Sarah, an angel of the Lord appears to her, and she's carrying Ishmael in her womb. Abraham's first son in Hagar's womb, running from Sarah, Genesis 16:11. And the angel also said, "You are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael, which means God hears. For the Lord has heard your cry of distress. This son of yours will be a wild man, as untamed as a wild donkey." Now, ladies, can you imagine? One, you're running for your life. Two, you're pregnant. And now you've got an angel. And the angel says, "There's a wild donkey in you. He's a wild man, as untamed as a wild donkey. He will raise his fist against everyone, and everyone will be against him." Happy birthday. "Yes, he will live in open hostility against all his relatives." Now, if you want to know the origin to the battle between the Jews and the Arabs, that's it. That's it. It's prophesied. It is the basis of a spiritual war. Listen to me. Who do you think put in Sarah's mind that it would be a good idea to give Hagar to your husband? Who do you think put that in her mind? It wasn't God. It was the enemy to try to stop the covenant of God from manifesting itself inside the family of Abraham. Let's split Abraham's family down the middle. Father Abraham had a fork in his genealogical tree. One fork carried the covenant promise of the children of God. But understand something. There is a spiritual battle taking place inside of Abraham's family. The other fork carried a people that would fight against the children of God. The Arab people, by their very origins, by their birth, would be against everything God was going to do through the Jewish people. And this explains much of the trouble in the Middle East today. It hasn't changed. In fact, if anything today, it's amplified. The New Testament book of Galatians describes this fork in the tree 2,000 years after Abraham and before Islam had even begun on the earth. And what I'm about to read from Galatians answers two questions. How can sinful man become a child of God? And what about Father Abraham? How can we become the children of God and remove the separation that happened in Adam and Eve in the garden? And what about Abraham? What's his role in this children of God, the father of multitude of nations? Galatians 4:22, and I'm asking you to listen carefully. It is rather deep, but it is very understandable. The scriptures say that Abraham had two sons, one from his slave wife, Hagar, and one from his freeborn wife, Sarah. Now, I want you to, as I read this, I want you to see a spiritual battle raging in the heavenly realms between these two women and their offspring. The son of the slave wife, this is New Testament, okay? The son of the slave wife, Ishmael, was born in a human attempt to bring the fulfillment of God's covenant, God's promise. It's man's attempt to get God's promise, okay? That's Ishmael. But the son of the freeborn wife, Sarah, which produced Isaac, was born as God's own fulfillment of his promise. These two women serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. The first woman, Hagar, represents Mount Sinai, where people received the law that enslaved them. Now stop. How did the law of Moses enslave the people? The law revealed you're a lawbreaker. Until you had a law, you didn't know you were breaking the law. But once you get the law and you find out you can't obey the law, you now know I'm a lawbreaker. And by the way, the law was more than 10 commandments. It was 10 commandments and 613 rules. And nobody could do them. Not all the time. Nobody. The first woman, Hagar, represents Mount Sinai, where people received the law that enslaved them. And now Jerusalem is just like Mount Sinai in Arabia because she and her children live in slavery to the law. Why? Because the law reveals the separation between me and God. The law proves the separation is legitimate because the law says I'm a sinner and God can't tolerate sin, so that's why there's separation. So that's what the law did. The law revealed I'm a lawbreaker. But the other woman, that was Hagar. But the other woman, Sarah, represents heavenly Jerusalem. And she's a free woman, listen, and she is our mother. This is New Testament. This is to the church. Sarah is our mother. As Isaiah said, rejoice, O childless woman. That'd be Sarah. She couldn't have a baby. Rejoice, Sarah, you who have never given birth. Break into joyful shout, you who have never been in labor, Sarah, for the desolate woman, Sarah, now has more children than the woman Hagar, who lives with Sarah's husband. You with me? I told you it's a little deep. So this is not going to just be Jewish people. This is going to be Jews and Christians. Blessed is the barren woman who's going to end up with more children in the end than the other side of the tree. You with me? And you, dear brothers and sisters, now he's talking specifically to the church. You, dear brothers and sisters, are children of the promise. Some translation would say children of the covenant, just like Isaac. Now, that's the side of the tree that's operating under the promise, not under man's attempt. But you, you are now being persecuted. Here's the spirit war. You are now being persecuted by those who want you to keep the law, just as Ishmael, the child born by human effort, persecuted Isaac, the child born by the power of the Spirit. But what do the scriptures say about that? Here comes the conclusion. How's this story going to end? Get rid of the slave and her son, Hagar and Ishmael. Get rid of the slave and her son, for the son of the slave woman, Hagar, will not share the inheritance of the free woman's son, Sarah and Isaac. So, dear brothers and sisters, we are not children of Hagar. We're not children of the slave woman. We are children of the free woman, Sarah and Isaac, through Abraham. Only one side of the fork in the tree produces children of God. Listen carefully. Only one side of this tree is going to produce children called the children of God. Nobody wants to say that out loud, but it's true. And how specifically can a Gentile get on the Isaac side of this tree fork called Father Abraham? It's explained in the previous chapter of Galatians. It's written to Jews and to Christians. And I'll give you a hint. The faith of Abraham. So how do I get on the side of the tree that produces children of God? The faith of Abraham. If Abraham is my father, I have the faith of my father Abraham. And what was the faith of the father Abraham? He heard the word, he received the word, he believed the word, he obeyed the word. The faith of Abraham made Abraham Abraham. The faith of Abraham will make you a child of Abraham, a child of God. Here we go. Only by faith can this happen, and Father Abraham is the example of genuine faith. Galatians 3:5. I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Let me use a different word for that. Some English translations, when they say the Holy Spirit, they'll say that he gives you a spirit of sonship. Spirit of sonship. Holy Spirit is the spirit of sonship. So I'll ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit? Does he give you the spirit of sonship and miracles because you obey the law? Of course not. If it's not by obedience to the law that I receive the spirit of sonship, then how did I do it? How do I get there? It is because, are you ready? It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. This is as long as my arm goes. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. Believing the message gave you a spirit of sonship, gave you the Holy Spirit. Listen carefully. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham. That's the question today, right? Can you call Abraham father? The real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. The Holy Spirit is Christ in me. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of sonship. To be born again of the water and to be born again of the Spirit is to have Christ, the Son of God, to enter into me, and I become a child of God by faith in Christ, by believing in Jesus. Jesus is now my spiritual brother, sharing Abraham and God as father. I become a child of God by believing the message of Christ. Listen, I become a child of God by believing the message of Christ, who is the chosen seed of Abraham. I know that's a lot to take in. The chosen seed of Abraham wasn't just Isaac and Jacob. It was the one coming through Isaac and Jacob. He would be the one we would put our faith in. The real children of Abraham are those who put their faith in God through Jesus Christ. It's not just about a bloodline birth of Abraham. Ishmael had a bloodline birth to Abraham. But it's not physical. It's spiritual birth and rebirth. So let's go to the Apostle John in the New Testament. In John 1:10, he, Jesus, came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize Jesus. Jesus came to his own people. Who's he coming to in this verse? He's coming to the children of Abraham, right? He's coming to the Jewish people. And even they rejected him. But to all who believed him, you see what it is? Faith. To all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become what? Say it out loud. Children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. They don't become the children of God on the Isaac's, on the Ishmael side of the tree. That's a human plan to reach God. You can't get there on that side of the tree. You have to come what? You got to be born again. You got to put your faith, the faith of Abraham. Now back to Galatians. The definition of faith is Abrahamic faith. Abraham heard God, believed God, received God, obeyed God. Are you with me? He heard God. God made the covenant. He believed the covenant. He received the covenant. He obeyed the covenant. That's the definition of Abrahamic faith. Galatians 3:6. In the same way, now he's writing to the church. Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures look forward. Here it comes. This is the good news of all good news for us. The scriptures looked forward to this time when God would declare the Gentiles to be righteous because of their faith. Somebody say hallelujah. This is how you're saved. The scriptures looked forward to a time when God would declare the Gentiles righteous. How? because you believed what Abraham believed. And Abraham becomes your father because your faith is his faith and his faith is your faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you, Abraham. So, verse 9, all who put their faith in Christ, are you ready? You know how big this is? I'm going to show you in the end how big this is. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. You know what the same blessing means? You are an heir to Abraham's covenant. Everything God said I'm going to do to Abraham, through Abraham, for Abraham, is yours through Christ. Do you know how big that is? The chosen seed of Abraham is Jesus. He is the Son of God. And listen, this is where I'm going to connect the dots. Jesus is the second or the last Adam. You know how it started tonight, today? With Adam, the Son of God. Jesus is now the connection. Do you ever wonder why he's called the last Adam or the second Adam? That seed came from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that seed, Jesus, is the only way to become a child of God, a child of Father Abraham, and receive the spirit of sonship. The Gospel of Luke records the genealogy of Jesus all the way back to Adam, all the way back to Abraham, and all the way back to Adam, all the way back to the Son of God. Now, here's what I want to do. Jesus is the Son of God. But when Jesus is introduced in the Gospels, the genealogy traces the Son of God, Jesus, to the Son of God, Adam. Son of God, Son of God. Now I know that the Son of God, Adam, is not the only begotten Son of God. Adam was not God in the flesh. Jesus is God in the flesh, okay? But they're both referred to as the Son of God. And they're both listed in the genealogies. Why? Why is it important? In Luke 3:23, now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli. So it lists Jesus, the Son of God, genealogical father. He is the son of Joseph, so it was thought. Now, Luke 3:38 says this, Kenan was the son of Enosh. Enosh was the son of Seth. Seth was the son of Adam. Adam was the son of God. I'm going to say it again. Adam, the Son of God, not the only begotten Son of God, but Adam had no other father except God. This may help you understand why Jesus is called the second or the last Adam. Why? This thing's going to go full circle. The first man was the Son of God, and now the genealogy shows that Jesus is also the Son of God. Why the connection? Jesus, who is called the last Adam, are you ready? Is not from Adam at all. Jesus is the only man that ever lived on the earth. Of all the billions of people who've ever lived on the earth, there's only one who ever lived on the earth whose father's 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 father is not Adam. Do you understand how important the virgin birth is in the story of the gospel of Christ? Believing and knowing that truth, that there's one man who ever lived on planet Earth who didn't come from Adam. One, only one. Do you understand that this changes everything? Let me put it another way. This may help. Jesus, whose genealogy is recorded as from Adam, is actually before Adam. Do you believe that? Do you think it matters? He's from Adam, but he is before Adam. Let's go a step further. Jesus in the genealogy is the one who is from Abraham. But he is actually before Abraham. Do you believe that? Jesus is recorded as the one, the son of David. He's from David, but he is before David. Do you believe that? Now listen, do you know how much information we have that proves those three things? Jesus is descendant of Adam, but he's before Adam. Jesus is the descendant of Abraham, but he's before Abraham. And Jesus is the son of David, but he's before David. And you know what? The church people, you're giving me that look like, whoa. Do you know how hard it would be to explain that to the Jewish people? Because what I'm about to do is read to you Jesus' attempt to tell them what I just told you. He's going to tell them that I am before Adam, I am before Abraham, I am before David. Have a nice day. He tries to explain it to the children of Abraham, but they couldn't handle it. There's people in this room right now. The reality is, some of you say, okay, but you're not getting it either. Because when you get this, when you understand who he is, everything changes. Everything changes. John 8:53. Let me set it up. This is 2,000 years after Abraham, and there's two questions that Jesus will answer. Two questions. 2,000 years after Abraham, Jesus is talking to the children of Abraham who think they are the children of God, but they are not. John 8:53. Here's what they say to Jesus. Are you greater than our father Abraham? There's question number one. He died, and so did all the prophets. Are you greater than our father Abraham, Jesus? Here comes question number two. Who do you think you are? So Jesus answered them. Oh, don't ask a question you don't want to hear the answer to. So Jesus answered. If I want glory for myself, it doesn't count. But it is my Father who will glorify me. And you say, you children of Abraham, you say he is our God. But you don't even know him. You see the connection to last week's sermon? Who warned you to flee from God's coming wrath? Don't feel safe because you're the children of Abraham. God can raise up children of Abraham from these stones. The axe is poised at the root of the tree. It's going to cut down every tree that doesn't bear fruit. Do you see the connection? You say you're the children of God, but you don't even know him. I know him. And if I said otherwise, I'd be as great a liar as you, but I do know him, and I obey him. How do you think they're going to take that? Thanks for clearing that up, Jesus. No, that's not what's happening. Then Jesus says, your father, Abraham. Do you see the Abraham father thing here today? Your father Abraham rejoiced and he looked forward to my coming. He saw it. And let me insert something. He saw me. Abraham saw me and he was glad. Abraham saw you? Remember those two questions. Are you greater than Father Abraham and who do you think you are? Abraham saw me and he was glad. The people said, you aren't even 50 years old. How can you say you've seen Abraham? That's 2,000 years ago. And Jesus answered. He's going to answer both questions. Are you greater than Abraham, and who do you think you are? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am. That's it. At that point, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus was hidden from them and he left the temple. I want you to think about that statement of Jesus right now, today, right now, this moment. I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am. Do you think they didn't know what that meant? When Jesus says, I am, do you think they didn't know what that meant? You know what he's saying? I'm the one who appeared to Moses at the burning bush. I am before Adam, and I am from Adam. I am before Abraham, and I am from Abraham. I am before David, and I am the son of David. Now, if you are, that answers the question, who do you think you are? I am God in the flesh. I am God. And they reach down and pick up stones to stone him. Why? Do they have Abraham faith? No. They are lost. Do you have Abraham faith? See, when you believe that he is all of that, everything's different. Everything changes. This will divide the whole world into two camps, a side called Isaac and a side called Ishmael. It's not about Ishmael. It's not about Isaac. It's about Abraham's faith. He believed God. This is going to divide Muslims, and it's going to divide Christians. It's going to divide Jews and Christians. Those Jews picked up stones to kill Jesus that day. Why? I don't believe that you are who you say you are. I don't believe you. And if I did believe you, I would become a child of God. And how did I become a child of God? By believing what Abraham believed. Abraham saw me and he was glad 2,000 years ago. And they couldn't see him, and he's standing in front of them. And they couldn't see him when he was standing in front of them. And can you see him today? Can you see? Do you understand who he is? Are you greater than Abraham? Who do you think you are? He is the dividing line of all humanity. Everybody's going to fall on one side of this tree called Abraham. Either on the side of Isaac, you are a child of the promise, the covenant. Or the side of Ishmael, you think you can get to heaven man's way. You will die. You will not survive. And here comes Luke 12:51. Do you think, Jesus said, do you think I've come to bring peace on the earth? No, Jesus didn't come to bring peace on the earth. I have come to divide people against each other. From now on, families will be split apart. Three in favor of me, two against. Two in favor, three against. Please don't raise your hand, but I know for a fact that a bunch of you in this church right now, sitting here right now, this is your house. You've got a divided family. You've got some in your house that believe. You've got some in your house that don't believe. He is the dividing line of all humanity. You have son Isaacs and you got some Ishmaels. Verse 52. From now on, families will be split apart. Three in favor of me, two against. Two in favor and three against. Father will be divided against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And in the end, you can do what you want to with what I'm about to say, but in the end, on the last day, one group will call Abraham their father. One group only. By making Jesus their spiritual brother, by becoming one with Christ, they will become the blood-bought children of the Most High God. And yes, they will call Abraham father. The other group will be lost forever, and they will experience the wrath and judgment of God on the last day. And this is why we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is why we stand and proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior. You want a verse that makes you cry out, Lord, save me? Colossians 1:13. For he has rescued us. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. That's hell. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Do you realize that you and I can receive the same covenant promises that God gave to Abraham 4,000 years ago? How important is that to you today? That whatever God promised Abraham is yours if you have the faith of Abraham in Jesus Christ. We are Gentiles. We are not born of the seed of Abraham, but we can share in the life-giving tree of Abraham by placing our faith and trust in the one who came from Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And today, we can call Abraham father. I call Abraham father, making us the children of God. Galatians 3:26, for you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Children of God. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on the character of Christ, like putting on new clothes. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, here it comes, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Do you want that? Do you want that? I'm going to ask the section. Do you want that? Do you want the covenant of Abraham to belong to you? And what does that mean? So here's the summary. Listen carefully. What's the future hold to the children of Abraham? I hope you're ready for this, because I'm going to give you both sides. I'm going to give you the good news. I'm going to give you the bad news. Let's start with the good news. In Romans 4:13, what is the future for those children of Abraham, children of God? Romans 4:13, clearly God's promise to give the whole world. Let me do this. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth. I'll stop when I think y'all got this. The whole earth. God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants, whole earth to Abraham's descendants, was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on the right relationship with God that comes by faith. The whole earth. What's in the future? You know, I wish the church would take literally the covenant promise of God. It's not philosophical. It's literal. The whole earth. The whole earth. Do you see it? It's not just Canaan. It's the whole earth will be ours when Jesus comes. Do you know that the Bible literally says that Jesus is going to come and he's going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem and he's going to reign over the entire earth for 1,000 years? And he's not just going to give Canaan to the children of Abraham. He's going to give the earth to the children of Abraham. First, there will be a millennial kingdom of Christ. And then there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And the first heaven and the first earth will disappear. It's a literal promise, covenant of God to the children of Abraham. Do you see it? Do you believe it? The whole earth to be given to the children of Abraham. Do you want to be Abraham, Father? Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. For them the second death holds no power, and they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. Oh, but he doesn't mean that. And they will reign with him for 1,000 years where? Here. On this. What is your future? You see, if you understand what this is all about, these children of Abraham, this is the promise. He's going to give us the whole earth. And Jesus will be the king on the whole earth. Read Zechariah chapter 14. And all of creation right now, all of creation is groaning, waiting for this final event. When the sons of God, the legitimate, not the make-believe, the legitimate sons of God will be revealed. The whole earth will be under the authority in the kingdom of Christ. Do you believe it? It changes everything about your life. Do you believe that's the future? That's the covenant of Abraham for the children of Abraham? What about suffering? Listen, when I understand how big the reward is, it helps me deal with the hardship of today's life. What about the suffering? What about the hardships? What about death? What about wars? What about rumors of wars? What about earthquakes? What about hurricanes? What about pandemics? And what about the fact that people will hate you just because you're a follower of Jesus? Do you remember the spirit war that began with the fork in the tree? Ishmael, the wild donkey of a man? Can I give you a heads up today? That which is happening in the Middle East is spreading around the world. Islam is spreading around the world. In our first service today, there were two preachers from Pakistan here, and I had a chance to talk to both of them after the service today. They were with us, our group, they were with us at ICOM over in Lexington, the International Conference on Mission. They're on the way toward Tennessee for their next stop before they head back to Pakistan. And he told those two preachers, both of them stopped here just randomly, I don't think it was random, to worship with us this morning. And I preached this sermon about Islam is rising in the world. They told me 97% of people in Pakistan are Islamic. And yet they have a church there in the midst of all of that Islam. And I made a statement in the first service, and I'll say it again. The dragon is angry. The dragon is Satan, and he's angry. And the dragon represents Ishmael, and God represents Isaac. And Abraham is in the center. And they're either going to be an Isaac or you're going to be an Ishmael. You're going to try to get to God through your Isaac mentality that you can figure out a way to make it work, or you'll believe like Abraham and produce life through Isaac. But here's the thing. Islam is coming. It's spreading around the world. If you will open your eyes, it's already taken much of Europe. Much of Europe has been consumed by Islam. Our Christian heritage came from Europe, and Europe has been overcome by Islam in this generation. So some people, I've heard them word it like this: they hate the Jews. There is anti-Semitism all around the world. Why do you think, who put that in Sarah's ear? Let Hagar come in. There's a spiritual battle. He is the dragon, and he's trying to thwart the work of God through the Jewish people and through the church. Islam is rising. And they're coming for the Saturday people. They're coming for the Jews. They're called the Saturday people because they shut down the country on Saturday. You ever go to Israel on Saturday, they close everything. They're coming. The Muslims are coming for the Saturday people. But understand something. Listen, they're also coming for the Sunday people. They're coming for the church. The dragon's not just angry with the Jews. I'm going to show it to you. He hates the church. He hates everyone from Isaac's side of the tree. Israel, to the dragon, is the little Satan. America is the big Satan. In Romans 8:18, the Apostle Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits for what? It waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. So do you understand what he's saying? All of creation is waiting to see who the sons of God really are. Who are they? Do you understand? I started this message today with John the Baptist looking at the Jewish people and says, don't feel safe because you're a child of Abraham. God can raise up children of Abraham from these stones. The axe is at the root of the tree, ready to cut down every tree that does not bear fruit. Who warned you to flee from God's coming wrath? And here's the church. And not everybody's going to heaven. And much of the church, the American church, is playing a game. Playing a game. You haven't given your life. Many in the church haven't given their life to Christ. You haven't died to yourself. You haven't been born again. Don't feel safe because you're a genealogically born of Abraham. And don't feel safe because you come to church. The creation waits, verse 19, in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. You know what that list is? It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of whom? The children of God. Father Abraham, do you believe? Is Abraham your father? Are you a child of the promise? It's based on faith, faith in Jesus. Don't just say that I go to church. The axe is at the root of the tree. The one who was before Abraham. Do you believe? I am. The one who was before Adam. Do you believe? I am. The one who was before King David. Do you believe? I am. Abraham saw it and he rejoiced. One side picked up stones to stone him, and the other one fell down and worshiped him. One is on Isaac's side of the tree, and the other one's an Ishmael. Romans 4:16. So the promise, what promise? Forever with God, no more separation. The promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. And we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if. There's the biggest word, if. If we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. This is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. And this happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Do you know that God can bring you back to life? If you are born again, you must die to yourself and he will raise you to a new life. But you will have to die to yourself. If we are to share in the blessings, I told you I had good news, bad news. I end with the bad news because the good news is bigger. If we are to share in the blessing of Abraham and the Jewish people, we must also be willing to endure the suffering of Abraham and the Jewish people. The Jewish people are suffering right now. They're in the midst of a great spiritual war. And much of the church, quite frankly, is this. Well, but you don't understand that when you come for them, they will come for you. They will come for you. You know how I know that? Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit. When he adopted you as his own children, and now we can call him Abba, Father, or Daddy, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Somebody say hallelujah. To affirm, his spirit joins with my spirit that says we are God's children, and since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are the heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. I tell you today, the dragon is angry. He is angry with the seed of Abraham. Yes, it begins with the Jews, but then he comes for us. And I'll give you a hint. There's an upcoming sermon series that I'm working on. It'll be three parts coming up to Christmas. And the final part, the grand finale, is the dragon and the birthday. And the key scripture in that Christmas sermon is Revelation 12, 17. I won't close with it. And the dragon, Satan, he's angry. And he's angry at the woman. The woman is Israel. And declared war against Israel. But he didn't stop with the Jews. The dragon is angry at the woman. He declared war against the rest of her children. Who are the children that he's angry with? All who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus. Those are the Jews and the Christians. He's angry. I'll ask the guys to come out for the invitation. There's a verse in Galatians. It is so, so deep. He says, for the children of the desolate, barren woman will be more than the woman who lives with her husband. For the children of the desolate, barren woman will be more than the children of the man who lives with her husband. Do you understand? The axe is at the root of the tree. Who warned you to flee from God's coming wrath? Who warned you? Repent. Turn to God. Prove by the way you live that you have repented and turned to God. Don't say you are safe because you're the children of Abraham. Don't say you're safe because you go to church, because that doesn't make you safe. Prove by the way you live that you have repented and turned to God. Anybody got any unrepentant, unconfessed sin in your life? Prove by the way you live that you've turned to God. This is faith in Jesus, that there is no forgiveness of sins without repentance. Did somebody tell you that? There is no forgiveness of sins without repentance. Repentance restores your broken relationship with God. Faith in Abraham is faith in Jesus. And Jesus said, unless you repent, you will perish. The axe is at the root of the tree, ready to chop down every tree that doesn't bear fruit. God doesn't want anybody to perish, nobody. Is Abraham your father? Abraham, Jesus said, Abraham saw me and he was glad. And that made some people pick up stones and it made some people fall down and worship. Which one are you? The invitation's open. Let's stand.